Item number six. Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report providing a verbal update on the department's current downsizing initiative of the Behavioral Health Division Center for Independence and Development. This is formerly Hilltop. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay. I do want to start this and preface it with this will be a written report next month, but I know that everybody on the committee was anxious to get at least some update this month. In addition, if there's anything that you'd like included in the report for next month, now is a great time to let Director Lyde and Director Kubaschek know that that's what your desire is. So proceed. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. So this is a verbal update. We had prepared some numbers for the Rehab Center Central as well. Be happy to provide those. It's not requested in this agenda item, but we certainly would be happy to provide kind of our progress to date on the central downsizing as well. Currently on the Hilltop unit, we have established a census of 47. We started the downsizing, the downsizing with 68, so that's 21 folks that have left the units, and that's pretty much where we're at. On the Hilltop units, 100% of those individuals have been found to be eligible for family care. They have not all been accepted into the family care program. We've had some issues with guardians that have been resistant to those family care referrals, and we're working with those diligently, and we're making some progress on some of those folks.
And I think, as Jen said, in terms of the number that have actually been discharged, there are really, however, 37 individuals who have been enrolled, which means they are working with the care management organization around planning for their discharge, and there are only 12 individuals who have not enrolled, which means they've not made a selection for a care management organization. And of those 12, about six of those guardians, I think, as Jim said, wanted more time to really think about what option they wanted, and there are about six other individuals who would like to go out of county. There are some plans being in place that an individual will be going to New Jersey where he has a guardian, a couple of others that will be going south, and a couple of others that will be going to other counties with family members. So, I think the encouraging thing is that the care management organizations are actively working with individuals. Guardians have made a selection, and so we're moving forward.
So the other kind of a key number that folks are looking for is the number of individuals that have returned, and again, so
right.
Far that number has remained one that has returned to the hospital after they were placed in the community. And that's between both programs. So I'll just give a brief update on Central. Currently, we have a census of 46 on the Central unit. We are way ahead of the game on our Central discharges. Had a projected goal, I believe, of 44 by July, so we're in real good shape. We are not discharging as quickly as we had hoped on the Hilltop units. We, however, with an amendment that was supported by the county board, there was an intervening target date of May that was in the budget that was eliminated, so now it's full closure by the end of November. So it kind of provided some increased flexibility with the projected discharge.
Okay. All right, Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd like to just confirm these numbers at Hilltop. What was the goal and the numbers that we're at now? Let's say that one more time.
We're at 47
units.
47 residents.
Yeah.
Residents.
Right.
And then the goal was what?
The goal ultimately is for them all to be placed in the community.
By
the end of November.
14?
November.
No, 47 yes. By the end of November. Yeah, November of 14, so right. By the end of
okay.
The year.
And then at Central, the goal was by July, 44?
The goal was 46, was it?
46 by July, by yeah, July. To have the unit closed by July.
Oh, okay.
And we have 45 people still left or 45 that have already moved?
45 left. So that was 23, now 24 that has been discharged.
Okay. And then the amendment by the county board was to, just in case there was a May goal that you talked about. I thought you mentioned. Okay. And that May goal was on both, like the Hilltop and Central? Was that May goal on
just Central?
Yeah. On just Central.
Was just Hilltop. And then Central, we do have a July goal. And we already exceeded that
target.
The goal for Central is 24 for this year, and then ultimately we're thinking of full closure in 2015.
Yeah. Okay. You ever heard the term, I told you so?
Yeah.
Is it safe to say the board told you so? Or that may go?
I would say, Madam Chair.
Director Colon.
I would say, I wouldn't characterize it like that. I think that right now we're making sure that we're working with their managed care organizations. They have the responsibility to provide the supports necessary for this transition to be successful. We based our decisions in terms of the timelines based on best practices, based on other larger relocations. So we, input from the state. So the November target stays the same.
Yeah.
So we feel very comfortable with what we put forward.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And the setbacks of why the May goal wasn't met, I think you talked about even families.
Well, I wouldn't say that we would have anticipated early on in this process that there were going to be some family members and guardians who would have been concerned about placing their guardian or their ward or their loved one in the community. And we're actively working with those. It's not a lot.
I think it's about six. And I think the issue, so that we're clear, is that guardians had about five choices for care management organizations.
Right.
You have a state-run IRIS system. You have family care. You have two agencies operating family care. You have two operating partnership, and you have a PACE. And so I think part of it was guardians needed a chance to really think about what's the difference between a partnership model, a family care model, and what is going to best support my individual son or daughter or loved one. And then it is a very individualized planning effort. And I think, as Jim said, to be real clear, it's the care management organizations who are the ones that develop the resources. They work with the individuals once they've made a selection. And all but about 12 have actually made a selection and are actively working on a plan. Again, some of them are moving back to where their guardians live, out of state. That does take some time just in terms of planning and, getting all the details together. So I do think that, guardians really, and they visited, they did some visiting, they looked at different residential options mm-hmm. to see which one might be best. And some of them, actually declined what was available. So the care management organizations are seeking new residents, developing new resources, and some of that takes some time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, in all fairness, I think it was a good process. And I think in fairness to guardians, we want to make sure that they are completely satisfied. And part of the transition means they have to agree to that placement and sign mm-hmm. off on it, and that everybody is in unison as they move forward.
Got you. And the family's concerns, is that tied with the managed care organizations not being able to provide the care that they're looking for?
Part of it, and I think some of them have had previous placements before, and they want to make sure that this placement is going to be best for them. Some of the guardians live out of county. You know, they're interested in many cases, they're moving. Some have certain geographical areas they prefer. A lot of the guardians and family members in Hilltop are older. So, you know, they're concerned about being able to visit, and they want them to be close rather than, you know, in other parts of the city. So, you know, I think it's good that they're thoughtful about the process. And some of them just really have been trying to understand, and I think it is. So what's the difference between Milwaukee County Family Care and community care? Mm-hmm. And really, they provide the same benefit package. They do the same. I think that, you know, we've seen it pretty much split now. There used to be many of the guardians were selected Milwaukee County Family Care. We've seen now a number of selected community care. And then some who've selected partnership, which is another option and a different managed care model altogether. So it's been a lot, I think, for guardians to digest. But they've been thoughtful about it, and they've made their decisions. And for the most part, you know, 85% of them are working with a care management organization.
Got you. And last question, Madam Chair, with just targeted towards why this wasn't in a formal report in writing.
I didn't understand the question.
He wants to know why it wasn't a formal report. And so, as I stated at the beginning of this item, there was a request made for a report, and the department did request an extension till next month for a written report. And so, again, I knew that we were all anxious to get some type of report back, and so I did ask for a verbal report. And then, again, if there was anything that you wanted to see in the written report that's coming next month, now is a great time to voice that to the department so that they can make sure that they include that information.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I know that there are other things on the agenda, so I'll yield. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the new state reform bill, how does that affect us moving forward? Does it affect our goals? Does it affect this year and next year? I don't know how soon that'll be implemented, but
tomorrow.
Who will you report to, and who will be able to request, you know, agenda setting? What's going to happen?
Madam Chair, so all of mental health services will be overseen by this new board. In terms of the exact timing, I'm not exactly sure, like, when that takes place, like if it's June, but because it'll take some time to, once the bill get passed, and they got to appoint the board members, and I think they have 60 days to appoint the board members. So I would think sometime in the summer the new board would be in place, and then at that point all of mental health services would be overseen by that board. In terms of our, you know, what we've been doing with our redesign, our SMART goals, our transitioning individuals into the community, moving more towards a community-based mental health system, less reliant on psychiatric hospital, emergency room visits. I mean, now all that, we would be moving forward with that.
Okay.
It would just be oversight of a new policy board.
That bill did pass yesterday, so we will...
33-0.
Yes, so we will have a report on that for next month, and we'll all figure out how that's going to work and who does what to whom now. And again, we do have, the board does have seven appointments on that board, so we'll have to have some conversation as well with the chairwoman to make sure that we get some quality appointments to that board. But we will have a report on that next month. I didn't schedule it this month because last Tuesday when we were doing agenda setting, it was still very much up in the air, and then they did the super amendment, and again, it did pass yesterday, so we'll be able to kind of get a report next month, dually, hopefully from IGR as well as Corporation Council, so that we know exactly what we're going to be doing moving forward. Supervisor Semper, are you through?
I think so. Will you guys still have a responsibility to come here?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Stamper, my understanding as it relates to mental health issues, the answer would be no.
And that's not my understanding. So again, that's something that will work out. We will not be voting on the policy. That does not mean that we can't. They will not bring things forward, so that we still need to be involved at some point, because the county board's role in the new legislation is can be as a tiebreaker. So at some point we do still need to be involved in the things that are going on. And so again, just like with Act 14, there are things here that we see as informational items that we used to vote on that we don't vote on anymore, but I don't think that it's prohibitive of them coming before us. And so there are still things, including the budget, that the county board still has oversight on, and so we will, in my opinion, still need to be involved. But like I said, it's very gray area. To be honest, they did a super amendment, introduced it last week Thursday. I think it was an additional 46 pages. It was actually, in our language, it was actually a substitute resolution, but they don't do that at the state level, so I have not had a chance to read it. Then Friday they came with another amendment to the substitute, and so at this point, to be honest, I don't think anybody here has read all of that and has a complete understanding of everything that's going on with it. Supervisor Sanfilippo did come last week, Wednesday, and he did present to the Combined Community Services Board the substitute resolution. But again, that was even before he had met with Representative Pash and Senator Carpenter. So there were additional changes made after that point. And so, again, at this point, there's things and there have been changes made up until yesterday. And so, again, I don't want to speak for anybody in the room, but I don't think anybody has 110% clarity on what exactly all is included in that and what's going to go on with it. So we will get an update next month. And we'll make sure that Jamie's here from IGR as well as Corporation Council to let us know what exactly it is that our role is going forward. But we'll remain in the loop as obviously as much as we can.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And you're going where I was going to ask. I think next month.
I got you down.
For our clarity, I think it would be great to know exactly where we stand. I mean, I read the bill yesterday and it's pretty obvious that the policy stuff is taken out of our hands.
Right.
I would want to flip to, so if we get to that point, or really it's more next month, but in number 12 on our agenda, I think it's relevant, that's why I bring it up now, it goes to capital. And, you know, so much is based on in capital, what the future holds and downsizing, and we got priorities, and, you know, I'm sure we'll lay this over to the capital committee also. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think we might have a better sense of that next month, too, and, you know, what our role is in this. I mean, it goes to this committee. Does this board decide how much capital spending there's going to be also? So, you know, there's another board you have to go to. Do we get involved in that? It's interesting that, you know, we just get contracts. We have to say yes or no, and we have no say in them. So, but that's the way it's been going. That's the way it is, unfortunately. It does mean we have to just sit down and not have any kind of role, because it's interesting that, again, and this is the county executive in the other area, he said, well, you know, why did you vote a contract down? Well, we didn't even get the contract to look at.
Right.
And, you know, so we're going through that process. I didn't know if it has, I think it has some analogy to this also. It's because we're going to be looking at stuff, and we have a certain budgetary area that was in the bill, too. I mean, it's very clear in the bill we have no policymaking power anymore. Okay, do we have capital? We have limited budgetary things. I think we have to take the budget within parameters, you know, what we spent last year and what extra costs there could be. But, you know, it's a little unclear. Well, do we bear the extra costs, the county then? You know, can the board make those kind of decisions that the people used to make? An unelected board makes these decisions for the people and what we spend. So, but it was 33-0, so obviously we are in much a minority here. But that doesn't mean I think we give up the fight to make sure that since we still have to vote on a budget, that we don't get all the information we possibly can get, because it's great irony and checks and balances, too, that I've commented on before, that we're expected to pass things but get no information or no say. Doesn't seem to, you know, connect with me a little bit. But it's the way it is. We're going to have, you know, it's all but a done deal. I don't think the amendment is going to make any significant changes to what, you know, I just mentioned or what
right.
we talked about. But I do want to find out, and I would welcome Corporation Counsel and our lobbyists to make sure we have everything that we understand, especially in the capital area, you know, what kind of responsibilities or what kind of leeway we have here. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, you have to prioritize in that long list that is in number 12 on our agenda. You know, it's paving some streets, it's all sorts of things. It's new windows, HVAC, and do we spend that kind of money when we don't know what we're going to have or what the downsizing or how long this building is really going to last? So I think I'm not telling you something that we don't know, but we should understand that and be part of that decision-making too. So I go along with what the chair lady has asked us for next month to just look at too. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the most important thing about the bill that we need to understand is that this is posturing us for a state takeover. And so whatever, you know, whatever concerns or budgetary things, whatever, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be irrelevant because just like when they came over and when they came in and took over income maintenance, they'll tell us at the end of the day, bottom line is this how much you're going to pay. And then every, you know, every budget, that's what we're putting in, and then the rest will be up to them, which for, you know, for the care of the people with mental illness in Milwaukee County may not be a bad thing. When the state came in and took over income maintenance, they added an additional $14 million to that program, you know, and added phone lines and added resources and things like that. So if they're able to do that, you know, it's, again, it's at the end of the day, it may not be a horrible thing. So, but we will definitely have a report on that for next time. Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we're talking about what the state took over, it's sticking to Milwaukee County and its residents. You can talk about they going to be good for the patients. They're not. Who are they accountable to? Who this board going to be accountable to? When you have concern about those patients that we care about right now, who will they be accountable to?
Okay. I want to make sure that we're staying germane to the item in front of us.
Madam Chair, don't stop me, because bottom line, everybody on this table had an opportunity, and you talked out of the chair on a consistent basis. Let me finish what I got to say, and then I will go on. The bottom line is what happened yesterday was wrong to the taxpayers of the residents of Milwaukee County. Bottom line. Now, I will leave that there. With the six patients that you're talking about with the Garland, and we're talking about the 15-day when we had aggressive point with about 15, May 15th closing. It was more than just the Guardian. It was more than that because he was too aggressive. You don't have a number of people in the community who want to take it over. We didn't have enough people to fill. Let's be real about it. Not talking about only the Guardian. Let's talk about why we was not going to meet that 15th, that May 15th, and then we moved it back to November. About the Hilltop?
Well, I think two things happened with Hilltop. We had a unit closing, which was the first.
Correct.
Right. And then we went to a full closure.
Correct.
So we really weren't then focusing on the unit closing because we were everybody then was moving. So there were differences. There were targets specifically for Rehab Central that we didn't, that were different than for Hilltop, because Hilltop was just a unit, and that was in the previous budget. And then we went to a full closure of both Hilltop and Central. So I think some of the issues in terms of the targets got, you know, a little bit confusing.
So, but even though when you talk about May, you consistently, you have a moving line, and the bottom line,
Central, wasn't it?
No, it's Hilltop.
I got it.
See, don't confuse me now.
No, but that was just a unit closing.
Yeah, but we tried. You want to move them all out. Am I correct? You want to put them back in the community. You talk about moving and closing Hilltop completely. Am I correct?
Yeah, but that wasn't May.
It was in November.
That's November.
Before we did the extension, it was May.
No.
It was November. It was November.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Bowen, again, please let's stay germane to the subject of the report next month and the downsizing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe Supervisor Mayo covered my concerns about the closure, because I thought the May 15th date was the deadline of employees being let go of those units. No, so it was November. And what we did, we plugged in the last period of the year in the last budget to say if you didn't hit that goal. I believe we staffed the mental health facility throughout the whole year, if I'm not mistaken.
Basically what we did via amendment in 2014 was we removed the May 15th date for the closing of Central, or for the downsizing of Central. So there were two different, it was a staged, what do you call it? For Hilltop. Okay, and so we took that out and we put the money back in the budget to fund that. Okay.
If I may, Supervisor.
Mr. Kubitschek.
Just to be specific, it was May. There was a May. It was a target for May. And again, if you keep in mind the budget procedure, we established these targets in April of the year before. Okay. So we're trying to project out over a year in advance, which makes it, so in my heart, I'm a clinician, and it makes it difficult to budget projected discharges, because there's so many variables that are involved in a potential discharge, especially when we have such a really an all-encompassing approach to these discharges. So it's difficult to project out a year in advance exactly mm-hmm. how many we're going to have. What that May date was it's how many we believed, how many discharges we believed we would have by that point in time, which was at that point a year later. So we thought we would be down, and again, I can't recall off the top of my head how many discharges we would have. So that would have been a transition point. And then the full closure was anticipated for November. There was no money put back into the budget as a result of that May date being removed. We had budgeted dollars that were associated with those layoffs that would have occurred in May. There was no money that was put back as a result of that May date being removed, which makes it more of a challenge, to be frank, from a budgetary perspective. So the date was removed. The required layoffs were layoffs proposal was removed, but there was no money put back into the budget.
Mr. Cady, is that a correct assessment? Because there was definitely a price tag attached to the amendment that was passed by the county board. So please, I would like to hear from Mr. Cady, please, regarding the amendment.
Madam Chairwoman, I was trying to recollect that as too. As I'm looking back at some of the amendments, there was an amendment regarding the acute.
Yes.
Yes.
Where money was put back in the acute.
That can say we continue to downsize, but it took out the 12.
Yes.
For 12. And there was a tax levy associated of $463,000 approximately for that amendment.
Okay.
Since you're talking about two different.
That's right.
We're happy to get those for you.
Okay.
Okay.
If you could please do that.
If I still have the floor.
Yes, Supervisor Bowen, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Cady, can you confirm the acute unit is in which division, the Hilltop or Central? That unit is completely separate. That amendment was separate from Hilltop and Central.
Yeah, the way I'm reading the amendment was that it was separate.
Okay. And then the acute unit in the last budget was scheduled to close what part of the year?
Aye.
Maybe the director, Madam Chair, might be able to provide me the answer.
Director Colon.
Okay, Madam Chair, Supervisor. So for the psychiatric hospital, we had where we were going to downsize 12 beds. and that is where the county board wanted us to do a demand capacity analysis to determine if there was enough capacity to reduce those beds. There was a $460-some thousand that was put back into the budget to give us flexibility, but that's a psychiatric hospital. Our long-term care units include Hilltop and Central.
Right. So when was when were the 12 beds scheduled to be closed?
April.
Okay, April 1st. Okay, those beds aren't included in this report on downsizing, right? Okay, so because the county board put the funding back, the scheduled closing, I guess you would say now, would just be January 1st.
For
these 12 beds.
Chair, for the 12 beds, we're going to go through this demand capacity analysis, and we believe that the report will be done, I think, in June, is what HSRI is telling us. So based on that, it will inform us as to how quickly we move forward with those 12 beds in the psychiatric hospital.
Okay. So let me also clarify. Hilltop is scheduled to be closed in November. Central is scheduled to be closed in November.
No. Madam Chair, Supervisor, Hilltop is scheduled to be closed in November.
Mm-hmm.
Central is scheduled to be closed at the end of 2015.
Okay.
And psychiatric 12 beds this year.
Got you. Okay. Now I better understand, Madam Chair, the direction the county board had with our amendments and the plans of the administration. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So is there any further comments or questions, Supervisor Stemper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be positive and hope that this reform is good for the Milwaukee County and good for our patients. But I did want to ask if you plan on informing your employees what's going to happen and keeping them updated about the reform and who their new direction will be under.
It's a moving
as far as accountability and you know, responsibility, can you inform your employees?
Yeah, we'll discuss that next week. We'll discuss that next month, and I'm sure you'll have a town hall meeting out at BHD to discuss as soon as we all have a better understanding and some clarity on, again, on who does what to who at this point.
In fact, I just had a leadership meeting yesterday where just that issue was described or was relayed to the leadership group, is that as this becomes clearer, we'll hold a series of town hall meetings again and let people know what we know.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. All right, if there is nothing further on item number 6, that was for information only.